Good morning. Today's Daf and Gittin's Chaf Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Daf as long as you have Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on the two dots on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Yesterday we dealt the entire Daf. Yesterday was dedicated to a steer between a Mishnah and a Mishnah. Mishnah in Gittin versus a Mishnah in Bamitzia. At least according to Rabba, that's the way to phrase the question. Rabbi Zera had a slightly different way to phrase the same question. But instead of going from Mishnah to Mishnah, he went from Mishnah to Braisa. But still, basically, it comes out to be the same thing. You lose a get. And there's a concern, although it's a chashash rachok, it is a distant concern, but there's a concern that the get that you pick up may not be the same get that you dropped. It could be that there was another guy with another woman, and the two sets of Adam and the date are all the same, and it's just, there's that possibility. And if that's true, so then the get that you just picked up was not intended for this man and this woman, and so therefore it's a failure of Lishman, therefore it'd be no good. So do we have to be concerned for that? So the Mishnah, our Mishnah says, yeah, you do. In other words, if you drop on the floor and it's now out of sight for a significant amount of time, we are going to find out what that is in just a moment. The Gemara is going to discuss that. But if it's lost for a certain amount of time, so then the Mishnah says it's no good, it's a puzzle, you cannot return it to its owner, we do not know whose get it is. That's our Mishnah. The Mishnah, but Matzia says it's fine. You return it back to the owner. The only thing that you have to make sure, says the Mishnah in Bab Metzia, is make sure that the get was actually executed, meaning that the husband actually gave it to the wife. Once that's established, so then the rest of it you don't need to be concerned with. You don't have to worry that this get got exchanged for another get. So that's what we dealt with yesterday. That was the steerer between the Mishnah here and the Mishnah Mamatziah. So in a nutshell, the Gemara gave numerous answers to this question. Rabba's answer yesterday was a distinction whether it was dropped and misplaced in a public area, in a well-populated area, high traffic area. So we saw yesterday examples of a Beis Din, right? The get was lost in a Beis Din. That's a high traffic area. That's right. The Gemara gives other examples as well. Anyway, marketplace was another example yesterday. Okay, so high traffic areas. So if you do that, so then there's this chance. But the Gemara says, even according to Rabba, it has to be that and the town in which the get comes from. There are two guys with the same name. You have to put those two together, and then we can entertain this concern that maybe the get that we picked up actually belongs to somebody else under those circumstances. That was one answer. The Gemara gave another answer yesterday. Rav Yirmiyah's answer is that when you can return the get is when we spoke to the Edom and we asked the Edom, did you sign on any other document other than this one? The Edom said no. Under those circumstances, you can return the get. And then the Gemara gives another answer. That's Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says where there's a siman muvak. In other words, the get that we picked up had a siman on it, and it's not just a generic siman. It's a specific siman, like a hole punctured right by a specific letter, and you were able to identify which letter it was that the hole was there. That's what's called a siman muvak. And under those circumstances, you can return it back to its owner. If it's a siman stam, if it's not a siman muvak, but it's just a generic siman, so then no. And as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, and Rashi pointed out yesterday, we'll return something to its owner based on simanim. But that's only if it relates to mamonos. Because when it comes to mamonos, so the two options are either simon's daraisa. If simon's daraisa, then go for it. You return it back to its owner, because simon is a rightful way of identifying who the owner is. And if simon is only derabanan, so as Rashi points out, but that's also fine. Because in the world of mamonos, we have a rule of hefker, basin, hefker. Basin has the right and ability to take your money and to remove it from you and to give it to somebody else. So if simanim are daraisa derabanan in either direction, you can return it back to its owner. But in the case of being matir eshes ish, what we're talking about being matir iser, so if simon's daraisa, so then that's fine. But if simon's only derabanan, so then you can't be matir eshes ish. That Rashi says, to that extent you can't do. So that's why the case has to be constructed in which you found a siman muvak. And then at the tail end of yesterday's daf, we went over that even if the get didn't have a siman muvak, but it had what's called tfias ayin, general recognition, so you can return it back to a tzur b'mirabana to a tamach chacham. Right? I quoted Rabbi Natam yesterday. He says a couple times, and he says in yesterday's daf, he says he's going to say it again in today's daf, and the Tosfos in today's daf, that everyone has tfias ayin, everyone has general recognition of their property, of things that belong to them, but the problem is, is that if you can't pinpoint a specific siman and you say, hey, give it back to me because it's mine, because I recognize it, so then it becomes an issue of credibility. So by Tzorba Mirabanan, so he's Neman. By the rest of us, not so much. That's all the Gemara that we did yesterday. We are now at the two dots, Nechav Zayin Amud Beis, picking it up where we left off yesterday, Vim Lav Pasal. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday that if you drop the get and you lose it, and you find it immediately, the Mishnah says it's fine. But if you do not find it immediately, then it's not fine. So, obviously, we're learning the Gemara. The Gemara is apt to try to give shiurim. What does that mean, immediate? What does that mean after some time? So here the Gemara is going to explore this issue of what does it mean after some time. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Ezuhu shelo la'alter. What does it mean not immediately? Rabbi Nasan Amar Shashaka De Shetav Shayar V'tishra. So the amount of time that it takes another caravan to stop and camp. Tosu says the other convoy is going to stop and eat. Right, V'tishra says Tosvos is a reference to having a meal. Right, we find a couple places in Shas. The word Shiryusa. Shiryusa is a reference to to a meal. Anyway, so okay, that is where it's no longer immediate. Okay. May somebody standing there making sure that no one else passed by while the get was lost. Or nobody loitered there while the get was lost. Rabbi Omer Kedei Lichtov Es HaGet. Rabbi's of the opinion that the amount of time where if the get were lost and then recovered, it is too long a time, is the amount of time it takes to write a get. Now, it could very well be that the shear of writing a get has absolutely nothing to do with this halacha. Meaning, we're not worried that someone's going to be writing a get in the interim. It's just that we're looking for a shear, and the shear of writing a get is a quantifiable shear. It's not an absolute science, but it is a quantifiable shear. And it's also in the context of getin, so it kind of helps us remember. But it's not, I don't think that this shear that the Gemara just gave really specific or is necessarily connected to the halacha of if you lose it for too long, therefore it's not, you can't return it. Rabbi Yisagar Mekedei Likros.
I
would guess.
Because it would seem it's just a Torah, not the...
I don't...
Because I don't think... Long name.
You could say it, I don't know. Mm. Okay, so the... right, and by the way, what I just said is more or less Rashi. Rashi says shiur ba'ama nasnu lo. It's a shiur. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Kedei Likro. So Rabbi Yitzchak says the amount of time it takes to read again. Acherim Amim Kedei Likosvo Ulikro. So the amount of time that it takes to write and read again. V'afilu shaham. And even if you waited the time, v'yeshbo simanim, but there's a siman me'idan alav. So but nevertheless, you could testify regarding it. Amri nekav yeshbo b'tzados ploni. You could say that there's a hole by such a letter. The ein me'idan al simane haguf. However, if let's say you identify the get by the following, let's say you describe it, it's written on a paper, and the paper is rectangular in shape. Big pat in the back. Congratulations. You've just identified every get. So the Gemara acknowledges that that's nothing. The Gemara says, I'm sorry. If you describe it as rectangular in shape, that's nothing. And then the Bryce concludes by saying that if I find it connected to some sort of wallet, or purse, or ring, Oshematsu Ben Kelav, or if it's in your Kalim. Rashi and Tosus described this as being in your Kalim, inside your house. So Afilu's Mamaruba, at that point in time, Kasher, meaning the Simon over there, that it's encased in something, means that it's now unbelievably unlikely that somebody else picked it up, took out the get, replaced it with another get, meaning now we're at the point of totally unlikely, and the Braisa says that it would be fine, even if you lost it for a significant amount of time. Okay, so, in this Braisa, what did we just see? numerous opinions in terms of what is the amount of extended time, or if I lost a get for an extended time, it's not returnable. So there are numerous opinions in this brisa, and then the brisa conclude by saying that if there's a siman muvak, you could return it to the owner with a siman muvak. And the brisa then goes on to say that if it was encased in some sort of case, so then you can return it even after zman meruba. That's all the things we learned in the brisa. On the very top of Chachesim and Aleph, Itmar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmo Halacha Shlosha Adam Sham. So what exactly is the halacha? So the Gemara says that this is a machlokas amarayim. According to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmo, it's the amount of time that it takes when nobody is standing and loitering there while the get was lost. Rabba Bar Bechana Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmo Halacha Shlo Avar Adam Sham. No one passed through the area over there. So the Gemara says, okay, so the amarayim have their opinions in terms of what the halacha, who the halacha should follow like.
So that's not the... You can quantify it.
It's hard, right? It's not a shear.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's only for this particular get.
Agreed. Meaning, right, I agree. So, Lema Mar Halacha Kamar, Mar Halacha Kamar, the Gemara just wonders out loud, you know, those are shitas that were just mentioned in the Braisa, and those shitas have names attached to them. So, when they say the Halacha, instead of saying the actual Halacha, why don't they say the Halacha follows like Ploni, like this Tana? Meaning, if you look back in the Braisa, we had the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was the one who said, Kadeshi Adam Omed Vero Shalav Hashem Adam. So, and the other opinion is the Yeshomrim. Okay, so the Yeshomrim doesn't have a name. So, but at least the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right? So why don't you mention the Tana by name? And I'll add, which is not, you know, it's an obvious point, but I'll also add that every time you mention a halacha in the name of the Ba Memra, so maybe it's a Geula, so it's good. It's good not to just say the halacha, but to say who says it. So why don't they do that? Mishum da'afchiluhu. So the Gemara says, on this issue, we had a tradition that not everyone's in agreement of who said what. So we know the shitas, and we kind of know who the names are attached to the shitas, but there are those who mixed around the various shitas, and so therefore, to be clear over here and to be unequivocal, we're going to not say who said it, but we're going to say what the halacha actually is. Okay. Matzah b'chafisa b'deluskama, my chafisa, I'm a rabba b'chana chemes, ketana. So chafisa is a small jug, my deluskama, tlika desabe. Some elderly people have kind of like some carry item, however you want to describe it. But okay, anyway, the Gemara is trying to help us understand what these cases are. And then if you hear me struggling with the Gemara, so Rashi is not much help, because Rashi then gives old French words for these items. So Phil, if you can help me out with the Rashi, that's great. Otherwise, we're gonna move right ahead. Okay, we're on the Mishnah Chalches Amad Aleph. Maybe get. So you bring a get, and the one who's sending the get now is somebody who's not in the best of health. And so the question we're going to deal with over the course of really the remainder of today's daf is as follows. You're leaving a person in not the best of condition. And we're going to talk about age, and we're going to talk about health. And so, and you're trekking. And now, I don't know, let's say it takes a week to get from point A to point B to deliver the get. Shouldn't there at least be a suspicion that the person in that last week, since you last left him and have had obviously no communication with him, shouldn't we at least suspect that that person's no longer with us? So the Mishnah is going to tell us no such suspicion. If you bring a get and you leave the person either in a condition of either being old or sick, so the Mishnah says you go forward, despite the fact that the person was not in the best condition. But doesn't matter. We have what's called, as Phil said, we have what's called a chazaka. A chazaka is a presumption, and that presumption is strong, and that presumption is a dinda araisa. First Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi writes, "V'lo chayshin in shem ameis ubato shlichuso umida araisa nafkalam ba'kol shochten." So we are probably closer looking ahead than looking back. But we are going to see this in the beginning of Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph. Rashi here quotes it, Yud Aleph. Goes over some of the most basic issues that we come up again and again throughout Shas. Issues like Chazaka, issues like Rov. Like, where do we know these things from? So, but they're all Dine Daraisa. Chazaka is a Din Daraisa. Once we leave the person in a state of being alive, the presumption is, and that presumption operates on a Daraisa level, that the person's alive. So that means now that you could deliver the get with the security of knowing that the person's alive. The Mishnah gives a second example. Well, let's say you have Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen. Her only right and ability to eat truma is based on the fact that she's married to the Kohen. Kohen goes away on a trip. We don't know where he is right now. What could be with this man? He could be dead. And if that's true, then she's no longer allowed to eat truma. But again, the Mishnah is telling us we have what's called the Chazakah. And the Chazakah tells us that the man is still alive. And therefore, she is still entitled to eat truma. And the Mishnah gives a third example. Let's say a guy lives far outside of Yerushalayim, is chayav a carbon chatas, and sends the carbon chatas to the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there are five chatas amesos. There are five times where a carbon chatas cannot be offered, and in fact the animal has to be left to die. One of them is when the owner of the carbon chatas is dead. Once the owner of the carbon chatas is dead, and the animal has not been offered yet, so the animal is relegated, designated for death, meaning not on the Mizbech, not through Shechita, but in other words, it must be basically be disposed of. So, again, third example of the Mishnah, where can't we suspect, at least suspect, that maybe the person who brought the carbon chatas, who sent the carbon chatas, is no longer with us? So the Mishnah says, we make no such suspicion. We assume, we work with the chazakah that he's still alive. Why three examples in the Mishnah, all speaking to the same idea? The Gemara is going to address that in a short amount of time. Amar Rava. We are starting with the Gemara on Chav Chesam and Aleph. Lo Shanu Ela Zakein Shelo Yeh Legvura. Legvuros V'chola Sherov Cholam Lechayim. So when the Mishnah says that a Zakein has a presumed state of being alive, and a sick person has a presumed state of being alive, that's only talking about a Zakein who has not gotten to the point of Gvura. What is the point of Gvura? So if you said Pesuka de Zimra yesterday, you'll know. Rashi reminds us, Shmonim Shana, Lishna de Pasuk in Tehillim, we say it during Pesuk de Zimra on Shabbos. So in Begvura Shmonim Shana. So you get to 80, so that's great. But after 80, I know. After 80, so then you're no longer in this presumed state. So the v'cholah sherov chol mechayim, and also the same thing is true with illness. Most illnesses, people do a great job and people recover. However, let's say the person is not just sick, but he's in critical condition. He's a ghostes. Shirov ghostes in lamitza lo. Okay, so the Gemara says that the Rava tempers the chazakah of the Mishnah just slightly. The Mishnah basically says a person's always in a state of presumed state of being alive, to which Rava says, not always. Zakein up to Gvura, then it's no longer enjoys that chazakah, and a chola up to Goses. But once you get to Goses, no longer enjoys that chazakah. So Abaye quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says that if the Mishaleach is 100 years of age, now just for a moment, can we just pause and recognize that a 100-year-old man is giving his wife a divorce? I was going to say thank you. Yeah. No, you really took my thought also. But it's good. He wanted to save it from being a shomer yavam. Okay. Anyway, I feel that me'ashana no sein la becheska shukayim. The brisa says no problem. In other words, the deliverer of the get can deliver the get with confidence and a chazaka that the person is sent is alive. So the Gemara says, and that's 100. And back then we were just worried about 80. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta. The Gemara says, okay, good. That's excellent. Meaning it's a kasha, not only a kasha, it's Tiyufta. It's a person always has a cheskes chaim regardless of how old he is. But then the Gemara kind of swings wildly over here. After saying Tiyufta, the Gemara then says, well, also, maybe we can answer. The Ibai Sema came to Iflig Iflig. The Gemara says, or possibly, look, 80 years of age, that's good. And then the Mishnah describes it as Gvura. Okay, and then at that point in time, he no longer has Chazakah. But once you get to 100, you're an outlier. And at that point in time, since you're an outlier at 100 years of age, now Rashi over here says actually it's 90. 90 is now where you make it into the outlier range. You show now that you're not the quote-unquote under the norms of what is general longevity. And so at that point in time, you go back to having a chazakah. That's the Gemara's second suggestion in terms of how to defend Rav against the Braisa. Rami la abay la rabba tanana maybe gevi nichu zaken achol anosin la becheska shu kayim. Okay. We are now going to have a discussion amongst the Amoraim, pitting a Mishnah against another Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, a person has a presumed state of being alive. Urim minhu. On the other hand, we saw this in Yevamos, we saw this back in the Dharma as well. Harezik itechsha achas kodol amisa. So, I'm going to give you this get, and this get will be effective 1 minute before I die. In other words, he's going away. He does not want his wife to be an almani. He wants her to be a grusha. And again, to save her, probably to save her from Yibum. And so he gives her the get with that clause in the get. The get will take effect a minute before I die. Asura le'echol b'truma miyad. He goes away. She can't eat truma immediately. Now, obviously, that Mishnah is a direct steer to our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says that once the husband goes away, she can continue to eat truma because she's going to be in a presumed state of... He will be in a presumed state of being alive, and therefore she can eat truma. Meanwhile, the Mishnah that we just quoted from Yevamos says, no, that if he gives her a get, and the get says that this get will be effective a minute before I die, so then at that point, the moment he steps foot out of the house, she can't eat truma anymore for fear that he's dead, and by definition she'll be a grusha, and so therefore she can't eat truma immediately. That's a problem. That's a steer between the two Mishnahs. I'm like truma getting karamis. So truma efshar get lo efshar. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, I'm not really bothered so much by this question. Because you're asking from getting in, you're asking from getting onto truma. And let's consider. And Rashi explains this, and I'm just paraphrasing Rashi. Let's consider. When it comes to get, you have to allow people to send a get to their wife. You have to. Meaning, when I say you have to, obviously within the construct of halacha. But we have to assume that people are alive. If we can't assume that people are alive, how can anyone stand to get to his wife? The moment that the get leaves his hands and the moment we don't see him anymore, maybe he's not alive anymore. And if we worry with that, if we entertain that possibility, so then the woman's going to have a hard time getting divorced, and then you'll have issues of aguna. In other words, by getting low efshar, it's just simply impossible. However, when it comes to truma, can a woman exist without truma? Yeah. She'll make it through the day without truma. In other words, right, she'll eat what's called chulin, meaning all the other food that's in the house. She won't be able to eat truma. And anyway, there'll be times during the month where she can't eat truma because she's an ida. It's possible for a woman to exist without truma. So, at this point, what the Gemara is answering is, look, when it comes to getting, we need to work with the assumption that people are alive, otherwise we would not have this institution of a husband sending a get to his wife. It's impossible otherwise. But when it comes to truma, yeah, it's possible. Look, I know that the man is probably still alive, her husband's still alive, but we're talking about eating truma. She can exist without truma. The Gemara says, Rami, truma, truma. The Gemara says, but you know what's coming next, because all you need to do is just read a little bit further in our Mishnah, and you now know the next question, which is, Tanan, Bas Yisrael, Hanesul Kohen, V'halach Ba'ala, Medina Siyam, Ocheles B'chuma, V'cheshah Shuv Kayam. Our Mishnah says that while the husband's away on a journey, the wife, the Bas Yisrael married to the Kohen, can continue to enjoy eating truma. And meanwhile, Uriminu. Now, well, again, we're going to quote the Mishnah Yevamos. He writes her a get, and he says, in the get, this get will be effective a minute before I die, and then he walks out of the house. From that point going forward, she can no longer eat truma. And that's now a stira. That's difficult. So the Gemara gives answer number one. Answer number one is really difficult to understand. Rashi, in fact, describes this first answer as a shnuya dechika. It's a hard answer to understand. I will try to explain it, but I will only try. So the Gemara tries to make the following distinction. The way that the get is formulated is that this get will be effective a moment before I die. So he's going to eventually die. The get will eventually take effect. So there we have to... Huh?
And before he dies.
Right, and the get will take effect before he dies. There we have to be concerned. Masha Enkin in our Mishnah, where there was no get issued, and therefore there's no concern. Now, I realize what I'm saying. It's hard. It's difficult. I'm trying to explain the Gemara's answer. Anyway, the Gemara immediately jumps on this answer. First of all, says the Gemara, not even first of all, like first of all and second of all, and I mean, in the case of the get may not be actualized. Meaning you're talking about the eventuality of this get. There is no eventuality of this get. He gives her a get on the condition that the get will be effective if I die, a moment before I die. Could very well be that this marriage will not end in his death and her divorce. Right. It could very well be that she'll die first. Yeah. So there is no eventuality to this condition thrown into this get. So the Gemara is basically saying, I don't understand your answer. I don't understand the distinction that you drew between our Mishnah here and Gittin and the Mishnah Yavamos. Ella Amar Abaye Lokasha. So basically, once again, so let's reset the question. Let's try to give an answer. Question. Our Mishnah says the husband goes away on a trip, husband's a Kohen, wife can eat Truma, and continue eating Truma with the assumption and presumption that her husband's still alive. The Mishnah Yavamos says that the husband leaves the door, writing her a get, saying that this get will be effective a minute before I die. From the moment he walks out, we have to worry that he's dead and she can't eat truma. From the moment that he leaves the house. A stira between the Mishnah here and the Mishnah Yavamas. How do we address the stira? Lo kasha ha Rebbe Meir de lo chayesh lemisa ha Rebbe Yehuda de chayesh lemisa dit not. So the Gemara says it's a machlokas tanaim, whether we're chayesh lemisa.
Wait, what about the reach I get?
The get is puzzle right now.
It's no, but the reach get, you know, this is one of those cases where the, you know, the, you have had other cases where there's any kind of reach get, she cannot marry.
Reach get is a it's not the same. Reach get is a failed get, but the get was issued. It just
so here's the get is also issued. It's just pending when it's going to be acted.
Okay,
but that's
okay.
Actually more forceful than other ones.
Okay, I respect the question. Whatever. The Gemara doesn't raise it. I can see the difference. The Gemara says it's a machlokas tanaim. And the machlokas goes like this. And this should sound familiar because we did this just 3 days ago. Halokechem ben akusim, you get wine from a kusi. Omer and you say, Shnei Lugim Shani Yasa Lafish Harein Truma, the first two Lugim go to Truma. And Asar Maisa Rishon, the next 10 go to Maisa Rishon. And Tisha Maisa Sheni Yomechal. And then the next 9 for Maisa Sheni, and according to Rashi, which we saw a couple days ago, it means that you transfer the Kedusha and the Maisa Sheni onto money. Vishos Miyad Divrei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says you drink it immediately. Meaning, according to a mayor, you're not actually separating 2 for Truma and 10 for Maisarishon, because like we described a couple days ago, you don't have any other kli to pour it into. What it means is that you'll be drinking of this 100 Lugin, you'll be drinking 88 of the Lugin, and then when you get to the last 12, you'll then say, okay, good. Now that out of these last 12, 2 is for Truma, 10 for Maisarishon, again the Maisarishini, you already transfer the Kedusha, and good. And you'll be fine. And obviously this is based on the issue of Brera, but we're not talking about Brera today. Today's topic is not Brera. What's today's topic? Are we concerned that the flask is going to break? Rameer's not concerned. Rameer says drink with confidence knowing that everything will end up fine in the end. And on the other side of this is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Osi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. So they say that it's Aser, meaning they're worried that the node is going to break. And because they're worried about that concern, that eventually the node's going to break, so therefore don't do it now based on a future concern. Now it's interesting, we are comparing animate versus inanimate objects. And that's an oddity. But we're doing that. The Gemara is doing that. The Gemara is saying, just like Rabbi Meir is not worried that the flask is going to break, so too Rabbi Meir is not concerned that people are going to die. Admittedly, it's a strange comparison, but the Gemara's doing it.
He's a warrior of all.
And I was thinking the same thing also. You did read my mind. The Rameir's Choshes Lemiuta, and over here he's not worried. Okay, it's a
question, but eventually everybody dies.
To apply the principle of Choshes Lemiuta when it comes to death.
But there's also two differences between the type of get. In one, this is your get, period. In the other one, this is your get, but only it's going to only take effect 1 hour or 1 minute before.
Right, no. But our case over here, it's not even a get. Our case over here is just going away. There's not even a get in our case in the Mishnah here. I know it's Mishnah Gittin, but there's not a get. In other words, he's just going away, and the moment he steps foot out of the house, our Mishnah says no problem. She can eat truma. Anyway, so the tamach lokus tanaim. So Reb Meir in that mishnah regarding the yayin of the kusi. So Reb Meir is not worried about eventual breaking of the flask, and Reb Yehuda is worried. And so the Gemara says, and now we can plug it into the two mishnayos. Our mishnah over here in Gittin represents the opinion of Reb Meir. I'm not worried. The man's not dead yet. Continue eating your truma. Masha Ein Kain, the mishnah in Yevamos, that's going like Reb Yehuda. Am I saying it right? No, Abaye. That is Abaye's answer to the stira between the mishnah in Gittin and the mishnah in Yevamos. Rava Amar, top of Chavchetzam and Beis, Shema Meisel Chayshinan, Shema Yamos Chayshinan. Okay, now we're going to get, this is deep. This is, but in terms of explaining the difference between the Mishnah in Gittin and the Mishnah in Yevamos. The Mishnah in Gittin, we're worried about the past. We're not worried about the past. Shema meis lo chayshinan. Meaning every time she picks up truma and she's about to eat truma, what's the question she's going to ask? She's got to ask, did my husband die? Right? Is he dead? So the Gemara says to that, no. He's not. He's fine. In other words, as a general presumption is concerned, he didn't die in the past. So under those circumstances, so our Mishnah is saying there's nothing to worry about. What about the Mishnah in Yevamos? The Mishnah in Yevamos where? He hands her a get and he says, this get will be effective a moment before I die. And so now the question is, will he die? So that a couple moments earlier the get will be effective? So on that, it's Shema Yamos. So on that, the Gemara says, Rav is saying, that's the distinction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Yevamos. So Amalei Rav Adabar Masal Rav Avahano Dechashem Yamasu Upligi. So the Gemara says, well, that's interesting because we just saw together the brisa regarding the Yain Kusi. And what's the question we're asking over there? Is the node going to break? That's future, not past. And yet, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, they all say that's something that we're concerned about. And Rabbi Meir disagrees. But you see that there's a machlokus even on the question of the future, not just a question of the past. So Am Rabbi Yehuda mi discarta shani no deshra demasal elishomer. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you could say that the flask is different because you can hand the flask over to someone to protect it. So maskal over misharshe arvacha arvatsarich really can hand the flask over to protect it. And who's going to protect it when it's in the hand of the custodian? The custodian himself is also going to need somebody to make sure that, in other words, there's no way to really guarantee that the node's not going to break. You can, all the measures you want, all the security measures you want, and meanwhile, it could break. So Rava just kind of reshapes his answer, sharpens his answer. If the question's going on in the past, meaning again, our Mishnah, the husband's going away, the Mishnah says it's fine, the wife can pick up truma and eat truma. Because every time she's eating truma, what's the question? Not will he die, but did he die? And to that, the answer is no, he did. So in other words, we're not worried about death in the past, and therefore, the woman can go on eating truma. When the question now becomes a question of the future, is he going to die? Because if he is, then the get will be retroactively effective moments before that. And like the case regarding the node, will the node break? So the Gemara says on that, that's a machlokas. On when the question's going on, did he die in the past? The answer is no. Will he die? And is that a concern? That's a machlokas between the Tanayim. Gemara says that's how we're going to set it all up. And that's because the Chazaka will tell us that he did not die,
right, in the past.
But the Chazaka can't tell us what's going to be in the future. And again, according to some Tanaim, the Chazaka can. So now, what was the third case of our Mishnah where there's a presumption of being alive? Somebody sends a carbon chatas to the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara asks now a simple and obvious question. Wait a second. You have to be there. Carbon chatas, you got to be there. You got to put your hands on the carbon. You have to do the mitzvah smicha. Now, Tosfos admits over here, it's not ma'akev. Okay, it still is not ma'akev. I guess, why are we recommending this? Meaning, why are we here talking about somebody sending his carbon chatas? So the Gemara gives a number of simple answers. Amar Rav Yosef, b'karbon nashim. Answer number one, Women. Women do not have a mitzvah smicha. The mitzvah smicha is only on men. Right? You remember the Gemara has discussed this a number of times. Can they volitionally do smicha? Sure. They can volitionally do it, but they're not obligated to do it. So they're in a position where they can, without any reservations, they could send the carbon chatas, because they don't have a mitzvah of doing smicha. Rav Papa Amar bechatas sa'of. Another suggestion on the Gemara is that we're talking about a chatas sa'of, where even for men, there is no smicha on the bird. The bird is only... you only do malika and the tachata, so some of it's eaten by the kohanim.
You couldn't do smicha before you send it.
And no, smicha has to be samach, right? Smicha has to be done samach l'shchita. Now, the need of all three cases in the Mishnah. Here's the Gemara. Here's the Gemara discussing why need for all three cases. So iyash minan get mishum dalo afshar. So when it comes to get lo afshar, and again, like I explained back in the Mishnah, it's Rashi's explanation. Lo afshar means we need an institution of sending a get to his wife. We want women to be divorced, not agunas. So I mean, we don't want women to be divorced to begin with, but if there's going to be a divorce issued, so we want to be a successful divorce, so we need the institution, so there we're going to bank on the chazaka that the man is still alive. But when it comes to truma, like we said earlier, a woman doesn't have to eat truma. It's not so necessary. She can exist without her truma. And then by truma, you could still make the argument that, look, there are going to be times where she needs to eat truma. Okay, there's nothing else in the cupboard. There's nothing in the pantry other than truma. So again, you can make that argument. When we're talking about a chatzah sa'of, look at the possibility. If that person is not alive anymore, so we're now talking about a serious issue of chulin ba'azara. So why don't we not take the risk altogether? Meaning, why don't we, even though there's a chazaka, but let's not bank on the chazaka. That's the havamina. And obviously the Mishnahs, they're coming there to teach us. That's the tzrichusa. That in the case of carbon chatas, we can still work on that presumption as well. Okay, adkan, that takes us to the next Mishnah. Shlosha dvarim amar Reb Elazar ben Parta lefnei chachamim. There were three things that were said by Reb Elazar ben Parta in the front of the chachamim, the kimus dvarav, and they loved it. Loved it, substantiated it, meaning they agreed with his halachas. Number one, al irshi kufur karkom. Let's say a city was sieged by an army. The alasfina matarefis, or the boat is being torn in the ocean. Lidon, or if someone's being judged with a capital crime, shehein bechezkas kayamim. Even though you can make arguments that all these people are in precarious situations, and they are certainly not in a safe environment, and you could make the argument that these people are no longer enjoying that chazakah of being alive. So Rabbi Lazar says that in all these cases, we can assume that these people aren't in a chazakah of being alive. Aval, however, there's going to be a threshold in all three of these cases where the presumption is no longer there. Irshikavsha karkom. However, once the city is no longer just, it's no longer just as being sieged, but the walls breached, and the army's in the city. Usfina she'avda bayam, or the boat is no longer being torn in the sea, but the boat is lost. We don't know where it is. And ayotze lehareg, and someone who is not just standing trial, but convicted of a capital crime and being taken out now to be killed. So at that point in time, now they're going to be alive and dead. Alive and dead, meaning we're going to lechumra, treat them as being alive, and lechumra, treat them as being dead. So for example, the Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael lekohen, Bas Kohen leYisrael lo socha b'tshuma. So let's say you have a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, or a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael. The Mishnah just wants to reflect how we're going to be machmir on both sides. So on one hand, if it's a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, so her right and entitlement to eat truma is based on the fact that her husband's alive. But we don't know. Meaning in the second three scenarios painted in the Mishnah, we don't know if they're alive. So under those circumstances, the woman can no longer eat truma. And the other side of the Mishnah, it's a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael. She is being prevented from eating truma because she's married to Yisrael. Once her, if she has children, then you're right. But well, let's assume there's no children. So the she's prevented from eating truma because she has a husband. But once her husband died, so the Torah allows her to return back to her father's house and to eat truma. So to which the Gemara points out that here, because this person now is not in a state of alive or dead, but unknown, so therefore we're gonna work with both chumras. Okay,
how
so
we didn't talk about gittin?
Huh?
How come we didn't give an example about gittin, the consequence about gittin?
Well, look, this Mishnah, I hear you, but this Mishnah is really take off of the previous Mishnah. So the previous Mishnah just talked about Cheskes Chaim, just the presumption of being alive. So this Mishnah is...
Let's say, it'll be the same
halacha, right? Okay, right, the Mishnah doesn't actually spell it out, but yes. I'm Rav Yosef Loshanel Bebeisin Shal Yisrael. Now, what was the example in the Mishnah? One of the examples of the Mishnah is somebody who was convicted of a capital crime and being taken out to be executed. What did the Mishnah say? If we left him at that point in time, meaning we didn't actually see the execution, if we did, obviously we know what the person's status is, but if we left at that point in time, what did we just say? What did we just learn together? Chomrei Chaim v'chomrei Mesim. We don't know. I mean,
considered dead.
Right. Someone being taken out to being executed, right? We pretty much know how this story is going to end. So the Gemara says to that, Rav Yosef now is commenting. And he says, Lo Shanu, that halacha that we just learned, Ela Beis Nisha Yisrael, that's only talking about a Beis Nisha Yisrael. We have what's called an appeal process. Now, I know in America, in the modern legal system of America, so we're all too familiar with the appeal process, meaning that's, you know, it's a good part of our legal system. But we write, America does not get credit, and neither does English law get credit for the appeal process. So the appeal process really started in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the sixth perek, where there the Mishnayos describe the appeal process. Now, admittedly, the appeal process over there is a much shorter window of opportunity, right? Much shorter window of opportunity, but there is at least an appeal process. So, just because you see someone being taken out to be executed doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to happen. The appeal may be that we found new evidence, and so therefore we may end up turning it around, bringing him back to court, and he may be acquitted. So, if, Rav Yosef says, if the person was tried in a Jewish court, and even if convicted, but the last thing you saw was him being taken out to be executed, that still doesn't mean you know what happened. There may be an appeal. However, however, if you the last thing you saw was him being convicted of a capital crime in a non-Jewish court, so at that point you can come back and report, and you could say the person's dead, because there is no appeal. So So the Gemara says, what do you mean there's no appeal by a non-Jewish court? There's something called bribery. That's their official appeal process. So the... to which the Gemara says, Amarlay. The Gemara is just such candor in the Gemara. It's you have to love it. So Amarlay, Kishakle Mikame Delachtam Porse Shanbag. Lebasa Demechtam Porse Shanbag Lo Shakle. So the Gemara says, of course there's something called bribery. And of course they'll take bribery. That goes without saying. However, once the and Rashi says that these are Persian words. So I know we're gonna end up in this awkward moment where I'm gonna turn to my Persian constituency over here and ask them if they're familiar, and they're gonna tell me no, and I know how this is gonna work. Anyway, Porse Shanbag, and my pronunciation is beyond, I'm sure it's terrible. But anyway, Rashi says that these are Persian words. But either way, the after the Beis Din makes a decision, so then that's final. And even at that point in time, they no longer accept bribes. Okay, so again, Rav Yosef's halacha is in fact defended. That if the last thing you saw was a guilty verdict in the Jewish court, because of the appeal process, so you can basically, you don't know. You don't know whether the person's alive or dead. In a non-Jewish court, there is no appeal process. They do accept bribes, but not after the verdict. And so at that point, you can safely assume the person is dead. So the Gemara says, according a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, where two people stand up and testify that we are testifying about this man. Shenigmar dina beveiz dina shoploni. This man was convicted of a capital crime in court. Now, why is this man still alive? So, as we'll see in just a moment, because he successfully ran away, and they called out the bounty hunters, and the bounty hunters got him. And you have two witnesses testifying that he was convicted. And based on Shaploni, Uploni Adov. And these people were his witnesses testifying against him. So Hareze Yehareg. Okay, so now, based on the testimony of the two witnesses who are telling us that this person was actually tried and convicted, it's an interesting testimony. It's a testimony about a court case that took place. But Al Pishnayim. In other words, we're gonna believe them. And the person is going to actually be sentenced to death. And not really sentenced to death, but just the sentence that was once done is now going to be upheld and carried out. And so the Gemara is now wondering out loud, I don't understand. Didn't we just learn about an appeal process? Couldn't it be that there was an appeal process? But the Gemara's answer is, Borech Shani. The Gemara says, yeah, but come on. Right? Look at the context over here. Meaning, there would be an appeal process if the person was not running away. This particular guy over here was running away. It is most unlikely. It's not even reasonable to suggest that there was any type of appeal process over here and that the person... And the person had any chance of somebody coming up and appealing his case. Okay, let's quickly recap and we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. So, we finished up the sugya of the lost get and the recovery of the lost get. We saw a number of shitas regarding what is that amount of time where, if it's lost for a certain amount of time, you cannot return it to the husband, to the woman. So, there are a number of shitas, and the Gemara concluded basically the amount of time that no one passed through while the get was lost. The Mishnah talked about presumptive state of living. So our Mishnah says very clearly that there's a chazakah that a person's in a state of being alive. The Mishnah gave three examples where a person's in a presumed state of being alive. To which the Gemara notes that there's a Mishnah Yevamos that says that if a man leaves his wife with a get saying, the get will be effective a minute before I die, once he walks out of the house, she cannot eat truma anymore. That Mishnah obviously poses a problem against our Mishnah over here, to which the Gemara gave a number of suggestions. Abai's suggestion was that's Machlokas Tanayim, and Rava's suggestion is that it depends what question you're asking. If you're asking about the past, so then the presumed state is that the person's alive. If you're asking about the future, so then as we ended up with Rava's Shita at the end, we have a Machlokas about whether there's a presumed state for the future. The Mishnah and Yevamos is talking about the future, our Mishnah is talking about the past. And then finally, we learned the Mishnah regarding the three things that were said by Rabbi Lazar and Parta regarding a person being in a somewhat more precarious state of living, but in three circumstances, we still consider and assume that the person's alive. However, once these points are advanced a little bit further, they're no longer in a presumed state of being alive, but they're not also presumed to be dead as well. If the city was attacked and invaded, the ship was lost at sea, and number three, the court case. In the case of the court where they actually arrived at a verdict of guilty, in all three of those circumstances, the person is not assumed to be alive, but also not assumed to be dead. And on that, Rav Yosef's discussion in the Gemara is that that only is true when it comes to the court of a Jew, where there's an appeal process. But in the case of a court of a non-Jew, and the last thing you saw was a guilty verdict and they're taking him out to be executed, so at that point in time, you can't even assume bribery. You can safely assume now that the person unfortunately is dead, and you can report that back to the wife.